Call in. Hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
From the way you're looking at me, you don't think I'm worth your time. Don't care about the person that I might be, offended that I walk the line. So what if I'm not? So what if I'm not everything you wanted me to be? So what if I am? So what if I am more than you can see?
When you treat me like that, when you treat me like that, you're pushing me harder, you're pushing me harder. When you're breaking my back, when you're breaking my back, I only get stronger, I only get stronger.
Even care at all, convincing everybody you can save me, but you're the one who made me fall. So what if I'm not? So what if I'm not everything you wanted me to be? So what if I am? So what if I am more than you can see?
When you treat me like that, when you treat me like that,
it's pushing me harder, pushing me harder.
When you're breaking my back, when you're breaking my back,
I only get stronger, I only get stronger.
I should've walked away from a year ago when you said I couldn't make it out alive. When you treat me like that, when you treat me like that,
I only get stronger, I only get stronger. When you treat me like that, why you wanna see me bleed? Why you wanna watch me fall apart? Try to find the worst in me, but I won't follow you into the dark.
When you treat me like that, when you treat me like that, it's pushing me harder, it's pushing me harder. When you're breaking my
hello world, and welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Liu Wildove. Unfortunately, Liu Wildove is feeling under the weather and won't be able to host tonight. And tonight's show is based on a contest called Snowflake Kisses and Memories. And so that'll be the gist of tonight's show. It's based on quotes, a picture image, as well as snowfall rouses your inner child to dream and play once more, by Angie Wyland Crosby. As well, quote number two is, silently, like thoughts that come and go, the snowflake falls, each one a gem, by William H. Gibson. All right, that said, I'm going to start the show, and I don't see anybody on the line, so I will go ahead and post the first read here into the group. Okay, so here we go. Oh, Louie says she's here, but I don't see her in the studio. Oh, there we are. Hello, Louie, and welcome to the show.
Greg, I was on here this whole time, so was checking to see if the phone lines work, and she got in, so it was a surprise to everyone. because she had a letter saying the lines weren't fixed yet, and she didn't think we're going to be able to have the show, but then it went live, so I was on the line with her. So we have a Christmas miracle, people! Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Well, welcome to the show. And so I have the first write up if you want to read it, Lou.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
It's called Snowflake Kisses
and
by Lou Woodsay.
This, thank you. Snowflake Kisses by Lou Woodsay. My Aussie girl, Bonnie, and me lived in Georgia for quite a while. The two times it snowed there. Well, ever seen a dog smile? She smiled while snowflakes fell on her cheeks and her chin. All the while she jumped and played while wearing that beautiful grin. Vacations we took always had to have snow. We're getting in the white stuff again. Come on, girl, let's go. After traveling, we came to Wyoming. She had been attacked and left with a body quite broken. Her time would be short here. No words on that had to be spoken. When it snowed, eyes would light up in the room. But you could see a shadow there saying, I'm going to have to leave here soon. After a few months here, in his arms, she passed away. I cry for my beautiful Bonnie every single day. But I have to say, when we do have snow falling, covering the landscape here, I feel my baby's presence and the release of each crystal clear tear. Every snowflake is a kiss from my baby in heaven above. Now anyone can see why every time it snows, each flake represents my baby, Bonnie Love, in poem.
Beautiful read, Lou. And that's such a heart-wrenching poem. You know, it really starts out fun and jovial, and then, you know, there's a tragedy that takes place, and where she had been attacked and left with a body quite broken. Her time would be short here. No words on that had to be spoken. You know, it really is tragic. And then after a few months here, in his arms, she passed away. I cry for my beautiful Bonnie every single day. So sad and tragic. It's just heart-wrenching for sure. You did a beautiful read on it, Lou. What are your thoughts?
You know, this just reminds me so much of my dog that was rescued up in the mountains in the Santa Fe. And, you know, she was impregnated by a wolf, and I adopted two of her puppies, and this reminded me so much of this, you know, when they first saw the snowflake and had pictures of them playing in the snow, and it just touched me deeply because, you know, both my dogs died last year, and it's just, you know, that pain you don't forget, and those beautiful memories, you know, you keep them close in your heart even if crystal tears flow. This was a gorgeous poem, remembrance and a tribute to his dog, Bonnie. Beautiful poem, Lou.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lou. All right, so I'm going to post the next link here. So we have The Snowdrops by H. Bay K. No guest. The Snowdrops. Encased purple shadow snowdrops within crystalline kaleidoscopic chasm in slow. Still life whispers with fading sun rays until the spring recreation. End poem. What did you think of that, Louie?
I thought this was a beautiful brevity by H. Bay. I love the details in here. I love the description of, you know, where she said within the crystalline kaleidoscope chasm. You know, I have always been fascinated with snow, the way it falls and the different shapes and the way that it just covers, and when the sun comes up, it just looks like diamond blankets, and it's just opening in diamond colors. And I just thought this was very lovely because I could see this. It was a gorgeous poem and gorgeous regret.
Thank you.
What did you
think?
Yeah,
you know, I thought it was beautiful too. You know, for a brevity, it really has a lot of impact with it. You can catch the purple snowdrops within crystalline kaleidoscope chasm. You know, still life whispers with fading sun rays. Just a beautiful, beautiful little brevity there. Thank you for sharing it, HK. All right, so I'm going to post the next poem here.
Slow down, Greg. You sound like... Slow down. Breathe.
Yeah. Okay, I'm posting the next poem. This is by Liquid Minds Forever, and it's called Frosty Kisses and Wet Mittens. If you wouldn't mind reading that, Lou.
You're giving me the long ones while you're taking the short ones on Christmas. Did you eat too much for Christmas dinner, Mr. Gray Eyes? Okay. Frosty Kisses and Wet Mittens by Liquid Mind Forever. Rolling in 3 feet of newly fallen snow, you snowball my cheeks, hide and seek, and gurgle giggles as you make me eat your fistful of snowflakes rolled into balls. An old car tires, we duo down an icy hill, hit stumps and bumps our bums and spill, rosy cheeks, frost-bitten fingers and noses. We free slide and ride easily at our will. At the bottom, you push me face down into the frosty mounds of ice snowflakes, determined to hang together until spring. Screams of children pierce the crisp air, and my insulated underwear is wet and cold against my tush, and my toes still numb. And I'd like a cup of hot chocolate and ginger bread, cookies sitting on your lap fireside, mittens and socks crave the summer sun, and clothespins to dangle warm in sunlight. As icicles glisten and snowflakes fall into soft bellies of golden retrievers frolicking with wet noses and frozen paws, we run to thaw. But the lake, with trash cans ablaze, young and old alike singing Christmas songs and ice skating on the frozen pond below, the hills of snowflakes packed tightly. Tongues stick out eager to taste the newest snowflake, lips part to swallow a frosty bite of ice nicely packed. Your lips are frozen to my chin, and we grin and chuckle, hoping for one more Christmas kiss slipping down the slopes. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lou. And she captures the magic of winter beautifully. You know, all the fun that you have as a child, rolling in 3 feet of heavy fallen snow, you snowball my cheeks and hide and seek, and gurgle giggles as you make me eat your fistful of snowflakes rolled into balls. I mean, I don't know, that sort of reminds me of being a kid and, you know, having an older sibling picking on you and rubbing your face in snow and making you eat their snowballs. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. But at the bottom, you push me face down in frosty mounds of ice, snowflakes determined to hang together until screams of children pierce the crisp air. You know, I remember long, cold days on the snow hill and having, you know, your insulated underwear wet and cold against your touch and your toes feeling numb and, you know, longing for that cup of hot chocolate and gingerbread cookies sitting on your lap by your side. You know, those are childhood memories that you just can't forget. Just a stunning, right? Beautiful read as well, do you?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I thought this was wonderfully penned. Each stanza has so many different details and so many different memories of, you know, being young, you know, young even in your middle school and teenage years, you know, with the mittens and, you know, just running across the ice and sliding down in it. And, you know, for me, I love to snap the the icicles and just eat them, and, you know, just the clearness that you would see it. You know, the snow is one thing, but icicles are another thing. You know, excuse me, am I coughing? I forgot to do my inhaler. You know, the way that your fingers, you know, all the details, you know, your clothes feeling wet, your fingers numb, and, you know, having a hot chocolate drink and hot anything, you know, hot, you know, tomato soup with grilled cheese, and, you know, the laughter and throwing snowballs, and, you know, just the way it would feel when you would get hit and it would just dissipate, you know, into powder in the air, and, you know, having wet lips and then, you know, kissing somebody with those wet lips and, you know, being touched, you know, them taking their gloves off and touching you with their cold fingers, you know, and you would be screaming. It's just, you know, like you brought up, Ray, all those, you know, happy memories that, you know, you enjoy. And she put so many in here. It's very detailed. And I really love this poem by Liquid Mind.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lee. All right, so we have a caller. This is caller 715. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Gray. Hello, Lou.
Hi, Pam. Welcome.
Pam. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so glad the show is kind of working. I mean, I guess they still have some glitches since people can't hear us, but... you know what? That's okay. They can go ahead and call in and hear us. So I am so thrilled to be here with you two. Looking forward
Absolutely.
To the poetry.
Thank you. Did you get a chance
welcome,
to hear Lou
welcome.
Read Liquid Forever poem?
Oh, yes, I did. I thought it had a kind of... a wonderful sensuality to it. You know, amazing imagery and metaphors. And, oh my goodness gracious, I'm sorry, I lost it. I felt like there was definitely a sensuality in the tone of it, but here I found it. Let's see. Mittens and socks crave the summer sun and clothespins to dangle warmly in sunlight. As icicles glisten and snowflakes fall into soft bellies of golden retrievers frolicking with wet noses and frozen paws, we run to thaw. I really like that, and the idea of I even like that she brings in the clothespins, which a lot of people don't even do anymore, and it just has such a kind of nostalgic feel to it. And then tongues stick out, eager to taste the newest snowflake, lips part to swallow a frosty bite of ice nicely packed. Your lips are frozen mm-hmm. to my chin, and we grin and chuckle, hoping for one more Christmas kiss slipping down the slopes. I mean, those ending lines are beautifully sensual, and it feels like she takes you on a journey through the innocence of young love to the deeper and more passionate love. So amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Pam. All right, so we have another caller here. I'm not too sure if this is Frank just listening in or, oh, it's Robbie just listening. Okay, We have Frank here.
Hello,
Frank.
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Hola, Francisco. Feliz Navidad.
Hello. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. And I guess it's a private party for tonight.
Well, you know,
yeah. We
did get some miracle. So a miracle is still a miracle, even if it's just the little one.
Yeah, very true.
And did you get a chance to hear read Liquid Wine Forever's poem?
No, unfortunately not. I was busy trying to get something to hear. I was having issues, just like Robbie was having issues. I couldn't hear anything. So that's why I called in for a bit and see if I can hear some poetry tonight.
Welcome.
Okay. All right, so I'll propose a poem if you wouldn't mind reading this, please, Frank. It's called Dreamland by Daniel Dufresne.
All right. Are you able to hear me clearly?
Yes.
All right. This is a poem here by Daniel Duane called Dreamland. And it goes like this. Snowflakes are the quilted memories of clouds that float gently to the ground, covering in a white cloak which glistens like diamond daydreams. Trees get covered in a heavy white cotton candy, which is cold to the touch, making them appear as if they grew from some macabre setting distorted by winter's fury. Owls sit upon the branches like some guardian of the realm, keeping an eye watch from eyes who wander from their homes in the earth. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Frank. And Pam, what did you think of the read on Dreamland?
Well, first of all, I like that title. You know, that's a simple title, and yet it says so much. Really great imagery in this one, and you did do a wonderful read of that, Frank. I really like the imagery, and trees get covered in heavy white cotton candy, which is cold to the touch, making them appear as they grew from some macabre setting distorted by winter's fury. Because there's such a juxtaposition in that, like, you know, heavy white cotton candy. It's so sweet. It's so nostalgic. And then he comes into the macabre setting distorted by winter's fury. And you think that really grabs your attention and makes you think about how winter can be both beautiful and ugly. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Louie, are you back? No, she's not. Well, I thought it was fantastic, right? You know, it really captured everything about you know, winter and, you know, snowflakes quilted memories of clouds that float gently on the ground, covering it in a white cloak which glistens like diamond daydreams. I mean, that's such a pretty picture that he's captured here with winter, and it's beautiful. Trees get covered in heavy white cotton candy, which is cold to the touch, making them appear as if they grew from some macabre setting distorted by winter's fury. Yeah, a beautiful poem and an excellent read as well, Frank. What did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, I agree with the contrast that Pam was mentioning there before. And I really liked the whole imagery throughout the poem. I thought it was very reflective of what the title meant there, Dreamland, because we often find ourselves using seasons to inspire us in such aspirations or inspirations such as Dreamland. So I thought overall the poem was a fantastic poem, and I really liked the essence of the poem and how the poem ends there with the wandering eyes there, and particularly there, the wandering eyes of the owl. I thought that was just fantastically written, and I enjoyed overall the piece and the content of it, above all.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. All right. Are we back?
Yes.
Okay. What did you think?
Well, I didn't get to hear Frank read all this beautiful poem. You know, I really love the details. Each stanza stands on its own in a different time piece. You know, me for the first one,
you know, when we start seeing snowfall and we look out, it's funny because we're in that moment, yet we can remember the past so vividly and all those memories that it carries. And then for me, in the second stanza, you know, it, you know, to me it talks about, you know, something that is so light and, you know, feathery, and like it can be so dangerous. And even in its beauty, you know, it, you know, distorted by winter's fury, it just made me think about that. And then, and of course, the third stanza, that nature theme, you know, and also has, for me, that almost that Lord of the Rings type of texture to it and its words, and you know, being who the owls are, that, you know, sit in their guardian of the realm, you know, which I really love the wording in that third stanza. And I just thought that Francisco did a beautiful job in reading it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment, Lydia. Pam, I have the next poem posted, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
I would be happy to. All right. This is Snow by Jody Melton.
Pam?
Yes?
Pam? Jody said he was going to call and read that. So,
oh, sure.
If you could, yeah. If you could, I believe I put a note there. I'm not too sure. I'm sorry, Gray. If you could please put the next poem. Yeah, it just says Jody will call. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we have one by Lost Keys, and we'll post this to the group, Pam. All right, there we go.
All right, and I'm reading this one? Yep, okay.
Yes, please.
A Snow Entanglement by Lost Keys. The snow seems half-hearted the way it meanders down between gusts of wind. The white sky perhaps is promising more than the weathermen. More, I say, of what I crave, the snowing. It makes me feel evergreen, coming to rest upon some verdancy, that evergreen thing in me, and stirring somehow childhood. And I mean something more than memory, something more than past, something entangled in eternity. Let winter's kiss come at last. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And Louie, what did you think of the write? And Pam's read.
Well, I really loved the way Pam read this. I liked how she picked up on the emotive lines that Lost Keys written here. You know, where we become one with nature, how sometimes the seasons transform us. Like for me, sometimes I see the cherry blossoms and, you know, how the trees just come alive. But with this one, she used an evergreen, and I thought this was just beautiful, how you become part of earth and you feel earth. You know, she says, the more I say of what I crave, the snowing, it makes me feel evergreen, coming to rest upon some verdancy. This is just wonderful. And then she ends it with that line, let winter's kiss come at last. This is a new writer for me, and I thought she just beautifully penned this. Beautiful read.
Great comment. Thank you, Lydia. And Pam, what did you think?
There we go. All right. This is absolutely beautiful. I love the imagery and metaphors in it. I like how it speaks to me on the innocent faith of childhood, you know, not just wanting to go back to childhood because, you know, because it was fun, but because within the heart of a child is this innocence and this faith that many grown-ups have trouble finding once they go out into the world. I thought the evergreen, the phrase, it makes me feel evergreen coming to rest upon some verdancy, that evergreen thing in me, the idea that the evergreen is a symbolism for eternal life, I thought really made for a great metaphor. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you so much. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, for someone who hasn't really seen much of snow in my life lately, I can really just envision, you know, what that really feels like, you know, to compare it to seasons and to compare it to sensations. And I thought overall the poem really reflected the notion of what memories, you know, what we cherish more about our memories they're really linked with nature itself in the seasons in particular. So I thought it was a very visually written poem, and it really just brought in the whole nature of how seasons interact with us. And I thought overall it was wonderfully read and wonderfully written.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And I like it. I mean, you know, nothing's more beautiful than an evergreen in wintertime with the snow on the branches and the green shining out below. It's such a beautiful write. The imagery is fantastic. And I can feel the emotion in this. Let winter's kiss come at last. Such a beautiful write. Very touching and excellent read, Frank.
You're welcome.
Okay. I've got the next post.
Oh, no, I didn't read that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's a great read. yeah. So we have Snowflake Kisses and on. Now we'll give this a read. In a miracle's midst, myriad years merge, condensed to a minute, Christmas night's surge. Gazing, we grasp the heavens hold, a steadfast stare at a city, stories untold. Light, like liquid, from stars descends, transforming into flakes, a celestial blend. Thousands and thousands more they dance, decorating houses in a wintry trance. Within, a welcome whisper sweet, greeted with a kiss, a joyous feat. Melting on faces and hands, embrace, hearts filled with joy and warm embrace and poem. That was beautiful. What did you think, Lou?
You know, I thought that they, you know, you did a beautiful job in reading this, Gray, that they captured the quote, that December snow when the beauty of each snowflake falls, and how these memories fill our minds with so many happy moments. And I really thought that she caught that in each stanza. I'll just go with the first stanza so other people can comment. When the miracle's mist, myriad years merge, condensed to a minute, Christmas night surge. Gazing, we grasp the heavens hold, a steadfast stare at the city's stories untold. You know, this is that moment when, during Christmas, you know, the snow starts falling, and, you know, it just brings back so many memories, you know, the stories that are read to children and around the fireplace and during the gifting before that happens. And then, you know, especially if, you know, you have a spiritual connection where you feel the beauty of the heavens, you know, these snowflakes just falling, and, you know, they just, you just can't help but stare at, you know, how it decorates the cities and the buildings and the homes and the fields and the trees and the stories still untold that still yet have to be made. Gorgeous poem.
Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you so much. And Pam Ray, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is beautiful all the way through. And I do like how it speaks on the idea of the beauty of the falling snow that makes a Christmas miracle. And it really is, some of the best things about Christmas are the simple things that can bring joy to the heart. I really like the imagery in the second stanza, and especially light like liquid from stars descends, transforming into flakes, a celestial blend. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you so much. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'm going to agree here, in particular what was said here by Pam. I thought an analogy there was just fantastic there, because I feel that the elements of what is winter and what is Christmas, you know, they're very much epitomized by our relations, by our memories that we share with others. Sometimes they're trivial, sometimes they might not be that lengthy. We always find ourselves retreating ourselves when we come across these seasons and periods of times where we do reflect upon seasons of nature, and in particular winter. So I thought it was a fantastic poem. The imagery overall was just very, very, very vivid, very vivid.
Absolutely. Thank you. And yes, I enjoyed the poem as well. You know, who doesn't love snowflake kisses? You know, when they fall on your mouth and they melt on your lips, it's just a beautiful thing. like liquid, light liquid, like liquid from stars descends, transforming into flakes, a celestial blend. Thousands and thousands more they dance, decorating houses in wintry trance. I mean, that's so true and so visual that you can feel that and see that as well. So it's a great right poem on, and thank you for sharing. Okay, Lou, I have Betty Page up next, but there's no
and,
for it.
Yeah, if you look, it says not to read it because we didn't know the show was coming up, and, you know, since we're having issues, she was supposed to send a recording, so please don't read that. We can save that for New Year's.
Okay, no problem. I will post the next one here. And if you wouldn't mind reading this, please, that would be great.
Okay. And this is written by Blossom writer Halos. And she wrote it to "The Snow is Sparkling Like a Million Little Suns" by Laura Willa Miller. Diamonds glinting on the snows, casting pearl glaciers, moonstones riveting, twilight lakes shivering the frost. Beneath morning suns, she comes softly breaking like the silhouette of the clouds as fragile flakes depart whispers. In myriads daunting, a thousand ice man's crystalline froze. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And Pam, what did you think of that?
Oh, this is lovely. I think the word halos is a perfect title for this. And I really like how she paints a picture of, with her words, of the light reflected as in the falling snow, how there's oftentimes, you know, those that it shines like crystals when the light is just right. I really like where it says, beneath morning suns she comes softly breaking like the silhouette of the cloud as fragile flakes depart whispers. I think that is wonderful personification of winter, and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you so much. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the poem is not that lengthy, but the imagery throughout this poem was very much impressive in my opinion here, particularly when she describes the beneath the morning sun, she comes softly breaking like the silhouette of the clouds, you know, and then ending with the whispers. I really like the whole notion of how she invokes just the notion of the snowflakes. And once more, the notion of winter as well, and how we find ourselves just inspired by this particular season. And I really enjoyed the poem, and I thought it was just one of these type of pieces that really didn't need to add any more lines onto it. It was good, just as with just three stanzas.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Frank. And I enjoyed the poem, you know, really captures the beauty that is winter. Diamonds glinting on the snows, casting pearl glaciers, moonstones riveting twilight lakes, shivering the frost. You know, when you look across a winter landscape, it just glistens and glimmers in the sunlight, you know, and creates all these beautiful diamonds laying on the surface. And, you know, it really enriches the soul with diamonds of snow. So I thought it was beautiful. And you did a great read of it as well. I'm sorry, I did. but no, it was wonderful.
You did?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I didn't know you had such a feminine voice, Greg.
You've
been too much eggnog?
Hey, I had some wine tonight.
Yeah. Great read, Lou. And
well, thank you.
What did you think of the poem, Lou?
I just thought that Blossom Rider this is just beautiful. It's like being in a jewelry store almost with all the, you know, the glistening diamond reflections and everything, that the facets that just catch the sun. And then another thing that I liked is snow has different colors and textures. And then she goes into the glaciers and moonstones riveting, where snow can not be so blingy as diamonds, but it can have this soft, beautiful moonstone where it has reflections of blurry orange and red and yellow. And, you know, I just thought that she caught that beautifully. And then I really liked where she said, as fragile flakes, the part whispers. You know, when it's just caught up in the breezes and the wind, and, you know, you see it floating the way it comes down, and, you know, there is that sound that it makes when you step in it, or you hear like a branch or a pine cone fall into the, you know, the whispering snow, and you can just hear that, and also that those whispers that we hear of our, you know, the past and the memories that we carry with us. This was just gorgeous.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Leah. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for reading, Gray.
Yeah. Thank you so much for commenting and reading, Aunt Leah. I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
I would be happy to. All right. Let me just post that comment, and here I go, back to where I need to be. All right. This is Those Snowflakes I Love by Prasad Rao Pindapol. Those lovely snowflakes that fall high from the sky above, like a smooth white feathers, like smooth white feathers that touch the cheeks so soft, as if they are kissing with love. The snowflakes that touch the ground lay a wonderful carpet everywhere, making the ground look so grand, tempting one and all to skate on them, run around playing games, throwing balls of ice on each other, making snowmen with different heights, making them look like guards who guards the night neighborhood at night, singing carols and praising the Lord, visiting every house in the neighborhood with chattering teeth and folded arms, wearing warm clothes, walking on the beautiful snow-topped roads, creating a lovely Christmas spirit. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I thought it was a fantastic poem, you know. It really captures the essence of snowflakes and the life that they bring into our world, like smooth white feathers that touch the cheeks so soft as if they are kissing with love.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I remember running out and sticking my face up into the snow and letting the snow, you know, hit my face and my lips. And it was just a beautiful thing when that snow fell. So it was very enjoyable. You did a fabulous read, Pam. Louie, what are your thoughts?
I didn't know you were making face imprints in the snow.
You know, I really enjoyed this poem. You know, it's just, it has so many happy memories in here and so many details, which I really enjoyed. Some of the things that I liked were, you know, this where he says, singing carols and praising the Lord. When they used to go house to house and sing carols, they don't do that anymore. But one of the things that I liked what he says, with chattering teeth and folding arms, you know, you don't really remember this until it's, you have to go out there, you know, in the snow, and you know, look at everybody's talking like that. That just, you know, I don't know. I just got a big kick out of that. And then you fold your arms trying to keep warm, you know. So this is so many, like he says here, walking on the beautiful snow-topped roads, creating a lovely Christmas spirit. You know, those memories of happiness like you were bringing out of childhood. And I really enjoyed this. And Pam did a wonderful job of reading Prasad's poem.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Leah. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
You know, this poem, excuse me, this poem is like a personification of what Christmas is in many parts of the world, particularly the Western world. You have these memories here. You know, we have, you know, some of us do cherish snowflakes, half snow, but it just gives us that, this vivid imagery throughout the poem of what, you know, what the feeling is you get, the sentiments expressed when you share, you know, these experiences with Mother Nature. So I found it overall was very, very, I cherish, very deeply cherish this sentiment expressed in this poem. I thought they were very reflective of the writer's perception.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, snowflakes on my lips. I don't know that.
Oh, great comment. Frank, thank you so much. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is lovely. I love the imagery in this. It's absolutely wonderful. It's an excellent write on the joys of the Christmas spirit shared. And I really like it all the way through, but I do like the nostalgia of making snowmen with different heights, making them look like guards to guard the neighborhood. And also the end line is really beautiful. Creating a lovely Christmas spirit. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you so much. Okay, so I have Richard Wiseman. And he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play this.
Flakes of White Rain Over Judea by Richard Wiseman. Winter's weak sun is now obscured by billowy clouds of gray that cast shadows long draping over blinding desert sands, vast stretches of nothingness that thirst for flakes of white to blanket this barren wilderness which cried for the Baptist's tears. Rise up now. Rise up on wings of black condors as the distant horizon blankets our desert's bleak heart in cascading flecks of cold whiteness. Old thirsts are now quenched. Our eyes slowly scan the emptiness, ever searching for a carpenter to build this house upon. Those shifting desert sands hint at our task's vanity as flakes of white rain over Judea. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Richard. And I enjoyed the music in the background as well. You know, it really gives it that desert type of feel. But, you know, winter's wheat sun is now obscured by billowy clouds of gray that cast shadows, long draping over blinding desert sands, vast stretches of nothingness that search for flakes of white, that thirst for flakes of white to blanket this barren wilderness, which cried for Baptist tears. You know, there is some religious context to this, but that's fine. It was quite beautiful throughout, and thank you so much for sharing, Richard. Lee, what did you think?
You know, this is, I could hear the music of Israel, the days of old. I thought this was very beautifully penned, very deeply spiritual. I really enjoyed his last stanza. All thirsts are now quenched. Our eyes slowly scan the emptiness, ever searching for a carpenter to build this house upon through shifting desert sands, hint at the task vanity as flakes of white rain over Judea. You know, the sadness of what's going on over there and, you know, wanting peace. But we all know who this carpenter is because he was one of love, one of peace, and one of unity. And that is so desperately needed in these days. This is a gorgeous poem by Richard Wiseman. I enjoyed it very much.
Excellent comment, Lee. Thank you so much. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, the production was wonderful. I really liked that inclusion of the music there. It gave it just that vibe, that old Middle Eastern vibe. I really thought the poem, you know, just like you, you know, I thought the inclusion of the religious mentions here of the Baptists and, of course, of that of Judeans, so be it, really just punctualized for me really what the essence of the poem. But I really like the notion there, what's described there with flakes of white rain, because he's talking about a desert here and how much we see and we visualize white flakes as being something that's abundant in winter. You go to a place like this, you don't really see any of that. But the contrast here is very, very intentionally vivid, and he really did a fantastic job in conveying throughout the imagery what he was trying to express with the poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you so much, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so we have I Am Amazed by Dave Burkett, and I will read this. A white blanket draped the landscape. Subtle grays spell the contours underneath. Icicles formed on railway bridge, arched open like dragon's teeth. A breeze pushes along relentlessly, ruffling the snow-laden trees. Morning sun peeps through clouds, glimpsing a look at the deep breeze. The altered view ebbs a new life. New snowfall fills the footsteps past. Streets look naked, in hue less color. A magpie sits atop a telephone mast. A stray cat tiptoes a garden fence. Stillness echoes in a time before days. A robin briefly dances on my windowsill. I stand and stare, and once again, I am amazed. End poem. And what are your thoughts, Leah?
Oh, he had fabulous imagery in here. I really enjoyed this poem by Dave Burkett. He's also a new writer, and I enjoyed listening to you read. And I just was thinking about that when I see snow, not only do I feel this connection to the earth, but I also feel the childlike person that's inside of me, even as an adult. Icicles formed on the railway bridge, arched open like dragon's teeth. And that imagery just stuck in my head, and it just, you know, I enjoyed it so much. And then he talks about nature. A magpie sits atop a telephone mast. A stray cat tiptoes a garden fence. You know, he just pulls you in further into this snowy scene, and it just, you know, a robin briefly dances on the windowsill. Ah, I love it when the windows, you know, I can hear the birds on my windowsill and I can hear their little feet. And sometimes they do, they peck at my window, they tap at my window. And I guess they're telling me to go outside and put some food. So I very enjoyed this.
Awesome comment. Thanks so much for sharing, Lee. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this poem is enriched with the imagery throughout the poem. You know, you've got here the notion here of the breeze, the sun, the snowfall. Then you have the elements of the magpie, the stray cat, and so be it. It really just enlivens the poem. It gives you just a perception of what really occurs around you, you know, when you're observing things, you know, you find yourself, when you observe other things, you find yourself keen to staring, keen to observing even more, and just realizing the beauty of Mother Nature in itself. And I thought he did a fantastic job with this poem.
Absolutely. Great comment, Frank. Thank you so much. And I enjoyed the poem. It made me feel like a kid standing and gazing at the beauty that is a winter landscape. You know, you can see a magpie sits atop a telephone mast. A stray cat tiptoes a garden fence. Stillness echoes a time before days. A robin briefly dances my windowsill. I stand and stare, and once again, I am amazed. And, you know, that made me feel like a kid, except for I do remember one winter where the snowbanks were 18 feet tall, so the top of the telephone poles were barely visible. You know,
Wow.
I don't think I want to be seeing too much of that, but I do have to be. I'm envious, at least. I could see that once in my life, but I don't know if I could see it any time. I'll be honest with you there.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah, it certainly was. And absolutely beautiful, right? And an excellent read as well. All right, Lou, I have a next poem up, if you would, please.
Okay. And another new writer. I'm so excited. We were really blessed with this contest. Invitation.
Hold on.
One
second. We have a call here.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi,
Naomi. Hello, my gracious. I sent everybody to bed.
Way to go.
It's working. Oh, boy. I was just waiting, you know. Oh, good grief. Oh,
yeah.
Man, I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
It's so exciting, isn't it?
Better than snow. We didn't have it. We're actually having a green Christmas this year.
Well,
like there's,
Yeah, we are too. It's not even raining or anything.
Yeah.
But we did have a, well, think about it. We did get a Christmas miracle, Santa did here. I guess we all must have been good.
I hope it records, though, because nobody seems to be hearing anything. But anyway, we're together. So, hey.
Yes.
That's fun.
A little bit of goodies is always a good thing.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Did you want me to read, or did you want Naomi to read since we haven't got to hear her beautiful voice?
Oh, sure, you can go ahead and read that next poem, please.
It The Invitation to Frozen Dreams?
Mm-hmm.
It is,
Okay. Invitation to Frozen Dreams. In a world adorned with snow like diamonds, each snowflake shines. A treasure like the islands, soft like a whisper, the frost laid in air, the earth like a pearl with its celestial care. A carpet of crystals gleaming like rhinestones, inviting you to wander, mesmerizing like moonstones. Footsteps etched gracefully, silhouettes gliding on ice, tracing pathways beneath like clouds of frozen spice. Snowballs tossed with joy. Laughter fills the air. Memories are created, a vision beyond compare. So let the snow fall and chant, awaken your childlike glee. in this captivating world where magic forever breathes. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I enjoyed the write. You know, it was very touching. It really has a warmth to it. You know, and like I said before about looking across that field of diamonds as the snow as the sun shines through the snowflakes, it just is glitters and it shines and it's so captivating, you know. You just want to go out and scoop up the diamonds and make yourself rich. But you know they're not real, even though they look so real. And then I also enjoy Scribble with Joy. Laughter fills the air. Memories are created, a vision beyond compare. Just a beautiful write. And you did a fabulous job of reading it, Naomi. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoy listening to Naomi read. I thought this was just a gorgeous poem by Firefly. She's new to me also. Thank you for writing for my contest. This is delightful. It lifts your spirit. It makes you feel happy. Now that I keep seeing your face in the snow, I've never heard anybody do that. Only if somebody pushed you, but not willingly. You know, I'll just talk about some of the stanzas here so I don't, you know, take them all. I really like the wording here. This is something I have not read before, even though I've read it, but she took it into a different delightful thing that just I never thought of. Footprints etched gracefully, silhouettes gliding on ice, tracing pathways beneath like clouds of frozen spice. You know, I never really thought about that, but sometimes snow does pick up the scent of the greenery. And, you know, if you've ever smelt the snow, it will smell like something that it's been on. And I had forgotten that. I had, you know, when I was a kid, I used to like to go and I loved smelling things. And then another one that I liked, which what I was talking about earlier, because this, you know, for me, it's just something that I treasure. So let the snowfall enchant. Ah, you know, and it does. You know, you just become a winter king, a queen. Awaken your childlike glee in this captivating world where magic forever breathes. And doesn't it? It captures our... It brings, it doesn't matter if you're a child or somebody in their 90s, it just enchants you and just makes you feel young again. And it does captivate you. It's just like it takes you into a never, never land. And I thought this was a wonderful poem and just beautifully read by Naomi. Thank you, Firefly.
Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you so much. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can overcome that. That was just a fantastic moment there. I thought the notion there of invitation to frozen dreams, you know, whether we're adults or whether we're children, we all seem to dream. It's just a consistent thing. The metaphors in this poem were striking from the beginning, you know, just offering us what the, you know, the snowflakes are, what they represented, giving us then the sensation of sentience throughout the lines there and making us realize the joy of them. And, you know, the best thing about all of this is it was captured in a memory. Awaken your childlike glee, a captivating world where magic forever breathes. It's just one of these mystical type of poems that really makes you just relate to this type of poem. I thought overall the piece was just magnificent.
Absolutely. Great comment, Frank. Thanks so much. And what did you think of the poem, Naomi?
Oh, my gracious. You know, she like Frank said, Firefly has so many beautiful metaphors for a snowflake here. I'm going back to the poem. Okay, yeah, I just love soft like a whisper, the frost laden air wraps the earth like a pearl with its celestial care. You know, I love the rhythm, the flow of the whole piece. And, you know, she compares, she has so many beautiful words, you know, to compare a snowflake to, like the crystals, the rhinestones, the moonstones, you know, and you just wrap the whole piece is just like a frozen, an invitation to frozen, to a frozen dream, like our title states. And it just wraps you in this wonderful childlike glee of witnessing your first snowfall. So I just love the piece entirely.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you so much, Naomi. Okay, so Liu, we have reached the halfway mark. Do you want to start open poetry or?
I guess Naomi didn't call in, but yes, we can do that.
Sure, Naomi's on the line.
No, okay, I'm so Irish Rose. Excuse me, sweetheart, Irish Rose. I don't know if she's going to call in.
Okay, so what's up, Frank?
I just
You can.
Thank you.
You could put in, if I can say really quickly, Gray, you could put the other one I posted up there. I'm going to skip the Central Night for tonight and do something that's a little bit of Christmas spirit. So I did add a poem and I'll read that one.
Okay.
So you want the second one that you put in?
Yeah, the one I'm going to read tonight. I'm in the Christmas spirit, so I thought I'd do that for tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, so snowflakes we'll put in, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me put it in. All right, here we go. This one second before you get going, Frank, we have another caller, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, we have two callers. Hello, area code 703. Is that you, Miriam?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi. I thought the show was canceled, so I happened to check in and discovered here you are. So I can stay a little while.
Okay, great.
Happy
Thank
to
you.
Have you.
Thank
we have
you.
Another caller. Area code 201. Who's calling, please?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Sandy Galatio.
I'm sorry.
Sandy Galatio.
Welcome.
Andy.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
I couldn't get to hear the show on through my computer, so I just like to listen. I have a poem that's going to be read later on.
Okay, sure.
Are you feel free to listen.
Thank you.
Okay, Frank, away you go.
All right. This is a poem called Snowflakes, and it goes like this. A fresh breath of the last days of the winter blows. The gentle zephyr caresses the thick surface of snow, torn into the memories of another passing season. A lone straggler witnesses the change of a once cold clump. The pines off with the eyes, crystals of feathers of curls, dancing in the final choreography of its magical enchantment. To the sweet sounds of nature's orchestra and a nation awakened, performing its elegant ode to the presence of time evolving. The whispers of the morning sun are heard afterwards, of the lightly migrating birds coming anew to the fold, humming the chorus of the arrival of spring betimes, as the young birds watch them fly from the distance. A cluster of the remaining spring of the snowdrift embraces the clum of the voices of a wintry adieu, the winds and smiles of the brethren sparkle by the comforting hearth of the flickering flame. We kindle the old days of the heavy heartedness, in special moments shared with loved ones, always with priceless treasures to cherish amongst the eventide of the eve of Christmas. Subtle the sound in the motion of snowflakes, slowly melting in a warmer temperature, or under the kind morning sunshine, for it is the hour of winter's departure. End of poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Frank. And that was mesmerizing, you know. It really pulls you into the right and lulls you into this peacefulness that you know emotes from the right. I thought you did a fabulous job of reading it as well, and thank you so much.
I appreciate that. You're welcome.
Absolutely. And Lee, what did you think?
Yeah, this reminded me of living in Germany. You know, I miss my family there, but this stanza I just fell in love with because you write such beautiful classical poetry, Francisco. A pine flows through the ice, crystals of feathers of pearls dancing its final choreography of its magical enchantment to the sweet sounds of nature, orchestral animation awakened, performing its elegant ode to the presence of time evolving. You know, and I thought that that stanza was just strikingly beautiful for me tonight, into hearing you read it and the memories, because that's what it does. It is a magical enchantment, the sweet sounds of nature, how it's just imprinted in our thoughts and reawakened every winter. Beautiful, Frank. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Gracias.
Thank you, Lydia. That was a beautiful comment. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think you brought us right back to, you know, those old day, those memories. I you say rekindling the old days of the heavy heartiness when special moments shared with beloved ones. But, you know, I think it's like every winter, well, here in Quebec anyway, you know, and you really bring that forth, especially with the stanza before that, you know, a cluster of the remaining sprinkle of the snowdrift embraces the clum of the voices of a wintry adieu. The winsome smiles of the brethren sparkle by the comforting hearth of the flickering flame. And, you know, when that, when you read this, I was thinking, you know, of, you know, every year we go to a cottage, a winter cottage with my family, and the family all gets together, and often there's a fireplace there. And, you know, I just thought of that when you're reading it, Frank, you know, just the snow falling outside and us all cuddled up by the hearth there, the flames crackling and just the joy of it all and just the comforting of the family and the friends and, you know, the harmony that we feel all together, the warmth, the love. And so, yeah, what a wonderful poem, Frank.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much there.
Absolutely. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
As everyone else is saying, Frank, that is very, very beautifully read. And your poem has a vivid sense of both time and place. And I enjoyed it so much, and I'm going to have to read it again to get all those wonderful nuances and to look up a few of those unfamiliar words, which I love doing. I just love learning new words. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I do appreciate that. I'm a linguist by trade as well, so words like this, I just have a knack of having had a couple of those into my poetry at times.
Yeah, wonderful job, Frank. Thank you so much. And
I
I'd like to welcome
that.
Katie McDonald, a.k.a. Weaver of Dreams, to the show. Hello, Weaver.
Well, good morning, my wonderful people. Good morning.
Hello, hello.
Hello,
Navidad a todos.
Yeah.
I tell you, I have found a way to fall asleep. Drink everything in the house that's alcoholic. Wow. Hello, my darling. I missed you so much.
Oh, it's so great to hear everybody's voice after this long, weak silence. It's been terrible.
Yeah, I know.
I agree.
Hello, Frank. Hello, Frank. Hello, everybody.
Hello there. Hello there, Katie.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
And Naomi and Miriam.
Hi, Naomi. And Miriam. Hello, Miriam. Hello, Naomi.
Robbie.
We have
tons of people listening on hold.
Lou, you, my darling, how are you?
Hello. I've missed you guys so much. It's so
me
good
too.
To hear everybody's voice. I'll take any
cry.
Christmas miracle, even if it's only half a one.
Well, just don't make me cry because I'll be crying alcohol. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Please carry on. Carry on.
That's
the good
okay.
work.
So, Lou, would you like to keep it at three comments per poem now? Or?
Yeah, yes. Please.
Okay. We'll get to you the next poem, Miriam.
So we can
all
get
right.
more poems
so this
in.
Is by, yeah, this one is by Naomi Sarah, and she's going to read it, please.
Daniel says he's on hold there. Oops.
Yeah, I don't see him. I can't see him.
If Phil, if you're on, can you please pick him up?
Yeah, absolutely, because I do not see him.
Maybe he was on hold before and he's not on.
He says he's not on the list. Try calling in again, Daniel.
Yeah.
He says
yeah.
he's been waiting for a while, but yeah, we're having
our
trouble.
Christmas party.
So. try and call back. Okay, thanks, Phil.
All right. Whenever you know me.
Okay, so I just wrote this a couple of minutes before, well, you know, after the show. When I knew there was a show, I wrote this. Okay. This is called The Snowflake Kiss. I remember standing in the fresh fallen snow, the wind silently blowing feathery, fluffed snowflakes that whirled and twirled in heavenly, sunlit glitter. Softly soaring as angels with silvery glowing halos, dressed in gowns of pure white, blanketing the world in a glistening quilt of cold, tranquil purity that smelled of peacefulness and serenity. I remember standing there thinking I was so small in the midst of the spectacle of beautifully grandiose. Amidst something so magical and magnificent, it seemed far larger than life. Remember feeling the coldness of a snowflake, a light and a cold kiss upon my lips, and I letting my warmth become its spring melt. End poem.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful read, Naomi. Thank you so much for reading. Miriam, what did you think?
That last verse is to die for. Oh, that's beautiful, Naomi. And
Thank
I
you,
let my warmth become its spring melt. Oh, that melts my heart. I mean, the whole poem is beautiful, but that part, oh, that's amazing.
Thank you, Miriam.
Absolutely. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I was just so, I'm so glad I managed to get through and I could hear that. That was beautiful. So, just, feathery fluffed snowflakes that whirled and twirled in heavenly sunlit glitter. So perfect for this time of the year. So beautifully read, too. Well done, my darling. That was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
You know, Naomi, lately your poetry has just been touching my heart. You know, it just brings tears to my eye, the beautiful imagery that you have here and going along with what Katie says, with the silvery glowing halos, dressed in gowns, a pure white blanket, the world in a glistening quilt of tranquil. Of cold, tranquil purity that smelled of peacefulness and serenity. You know, those moments where we remember those that we've lost, and they're not really mm-hmm. lost because they live inside our hearts. Beautiful, Naomi. Deeply touching.
Thank you, Lou.
Absolutely
you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. And this is by Gray Eye Smith, and it's called Snow Day. Here we go. Okay. I remember sitting at the dining table. Outside, the winds were whipping and whistling. The drops of rain were heavy on the screen door. And if my eyes weren't playing games, it was slushy. Woot, woot, snow day tomorrow. Thank heavens for... It was playtime. I couldn't sleep all night, dreaming of the coming gore-free snow days. My eyes were watching as the flush turned into full-on winter snow blizzard. Stopped before my eyes, like a dream come true. See, cars were stuck, and so was the tow trucks. Fenders were bending on that blessed night. Everything came to a stop, except for the accident guys getting into a fistfight at the parking lot entrance. I stayed up all night and watched nearly 4 feet of snow blanketing our lovely mother. It was 7 a.m. We were fed and suited up in snowsuits, scarves, and, of course, our hand-knitted hats and gloves. I never did tell Mom how horrible they were, as they were always soaked or frozen. Bless her heart, it was time to jump into the snow-covered paradise on a school day. End poem.
Wow.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Yeah, let's see here. Beaver to you. Frank, what do you think?
Well, I could tell you had a hell of a time there, Gray. It was a fantastic just insight into what your mind, your feelings, your experience. I really felt like I was reliving this with you. You know, I can only imagine what winter, what you saw and what you visualized, you know, and just how much it made you feel. That's what I experienced after her poem. You really gave us an experience of this poem that really made it very much relatable. And I really like the notion there. You talk about your mother there. You know, you mentioned her. I really find that endearing there, that you're able to remember her as well for this experience, but find a common ground between the experiences that you had and experiences we had with your mother as well. So I thought, and there was a little bit satire threw in there with how your mother never knew how horrible make that. But I thought overall, you know, it's a childhood memory that we have, and you know, the way you wrote it and the way you read it was just, I could tell that it was very personal for you.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Appreciate that.
Are you welcome?
And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I forgot to say woot woot.
Was that me you asked, Greg?
Yeah, Lou.
Oh, Lou, okay.
No, it's Naomi, because I commented on the last paragraph. Even I will write a comment. Naomi?
Okay.
This just transported me. This is a Canadian. This is Canadian winter right here. Oh, my gracious. This transported me back. I'm a little girl, and we're all around the radio because they'd announced the school closes on the radio, and we're all there, you know, just with fingers crossed, just hoping that, you know, the school would be closed, you know, that day. And, you know, and I remember this, you know, the cars stuck and the tow trucks stuck. Oh, my gracious, you know, and all this, oh, and, you know, 4 feet of snow. Oh, yeah, you know, you're almost like halfway up the side of the house, and, you know, getting into our snowsuits, our scarves and all that. And, you know, and, yeah, my mom knitted hats and gloves and mittens, too. And, yeah, and they would. My gracious, they were not waterproof at all. Just like, you know, the water would go right
going to make friends right on your hands, right to your neck. But, you know, I don't know. We didn't, now that I think of it, you know, what a soggy, you know, thing. But I don't know. We were young. We didn't care that it was cold. And we're freezing. We're just playing in this moment. So, yeah, this really brought me back, you know, really to those childhood days. So thank you so, so much, Gray. What a wonderful write.
Thanks, Naomi. I'm glad you could relate. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I get the comment. My favorite part, among many, is fenders were bending on that blessed night. It's just... Oh, it's so funny. The sound is great, that unexpected rhyme in there, and then on that blessed night, you kind of have to wonder which kind of blessed is meant there. Because, you know, kind of a Christmas-like scene. It could be a silent night, blessed night, but what's going on is more like, oh, blessed night. That's my favorite part, but it's all great. It's all good. I love childhood memory poems. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you so much, Miriam. Okay, so we're going to get to back to the list here. Okay, let's put Weaver up, since we have her lovely voice on the line. Okay, Weaver, we have color, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, I thought I had a SoundCloud, but probably not. That's the way I'm going at the moment. Okay, here we are. Color by Moi. Okay. From winter's embrace, there's a sight so divine. Snowflakes descending, as if to hide and refine. As a million suns, each casting a radiant ray, fall upon the earth in a shimmering display. These delicate whispers drifting from the skies are now a serene blanket that covers over lies. While softly descending as a fragile symphony, it grows into a testimony to all of life's diversity. So in these fleeting moments of purest white, keep the rainbow colors forever in your sight. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. That was such a touching read and right. These delicate whispers drifting from the skies are now a serene blanket that covers over lies. It's softly descending as a fragile symphony. It grows into a testimony of all life's diversity. Yeah, just a powerful poem, beautifully written, and an excellent read, Weaver. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
All right, and Lou, what are your thoughts?
It's so good to hear Katie and everybody reading again. I just can't stop smiling when I hear all of you comment and read. This was such a beautiful poem, Weaver. You know, we all have had different lives. You know, it says, from winter's embrace, there's a sight so divine. And, you know, there's just something so innocent and pure about snow. Snowflakes descending as if to hide and refine. And that's what it did. You know, for me, you know, it hid a lot of pain that I was living through. And it also allowed me to grow and to love Mother Nature even more. I just thought this was just beautiful because no matter how ugly things can be in our life, a lot of the lies that we deal with, there's just something about Mother Nature that washes us in purity. Beautiful poem, Katie. Beautiful read.
Thank you, darling.
Absolutely. And Francisco, what are your thoughts?
Yes, you know, I'm going to echo the sentiment expressed here by Lou. I thought you did a wonderful job of encompassing the contrast of, you know, of what the memories were. And you epitomized that with the color itself. Winter embrace of the sight so divine, snowflakes descending as to hide and refine. there is emotions, deep emotions in this poem, but there's also the sun at the end of the day that reflects in all of us. And although it could be a fleeting moment of pureness white, the rainbow colors forever in your sight. I think you did such a masterful job of depicting the poem here in this regard. I thought it was a fantastic read, and it was just very much, it had deep emotions attached to the poem as well.
Thank you. That's very kind.
No, you're welcome.
Absolutely. Great comment, Frank. Thanks. All right, I think Miriam is next, if I'm not correct. Yes, Miriam, what are your...
I get to talk again. That's great.
Just raise your hand there. You'll be okay.
I put synesthesia at its finest. And also, I'm a real sucker for diversity. Anytime somebody mentions diversity in a poem, it just thrills me. It's such a big part of my life is advocating diversity of all kinds. And the synesthesia, what I was noticing here is that, Katie, you kind of segue from one sense to another. So particularly these delicate whispers drifting from the skies are now a serene blanket that covers over lies. So you're ending that couplet talking about something that we're seeing, but you start it with delicate whispers, which is something that you would hear. So it's almost as if you were hearing something that you would expect to see. And it's, you're using one sense and it's transformed into another sense. Like you're hearing light. And then just in the next couplet, we talk about the fragile symphony that grows into a testimony to all of life's diversity. And again, there you have sound that is, snow is usually silent, but to you, you're hearing the snow. And you can tell me I'm wrong, but I get the sense that I get the impression that you have one sense that turns into another sense through the poem.
Yes, it would appear I do. It certainly would appear I do. I just kind of write what comes to me. I've got to be very honest about this. I did hear the snow did have that sound for me, those delicate whispers falling to the air and landing on the ground and making everything look wonderful again. But I was very conscious that it's not always going to be soft and delicate. There are times when it's loud and it's scary and it's different things to different people. And I think that's kind of what happened in the middle of this to me, that I thought, yes, it's lovely and it's sweet and it's soft, but there's a harder side to life than just that. That was all, I think. But thank you for noticing. Now I know what I've done.
You hinted the harder with the serene blanket that covers over lies. That's a very telling phrase there.
Yeah, I think that's where it changed, actually, when I wrote that, a serene blanket that covers over lies. And then the rest comes to you, doesn't it? It's not always that sweet. Sorry.
No.
But thank you.
Excellent, Tom.
Thank you for sharing, Weaver. Great read. Excellent, right. Okay, we have Snowflake Kisses by Sandy G. If you would mind reading that, Sandy, please.
Okay. Recall a thousand falling stars perched along the deck rails, building hats upon the cats and reclining on the glider. Call back the breathless silence in the echo of the snowflakes, the ticking of the flurries, on the dusting coast below. Remember dancing diamonds, swallowed in the babbling, as they kissed the flowing brook that ran below the cat bridge. Review the painted vistas, brushed in chalky white, the fertile fields at rest in the early morning light. Ballets of natural beauty, flakes and crystal flights, the best of nature's gifts to warm a winter's night. End poem.
Beautiful read. Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Ah, I just got myself gathered together here. I thought that was absolutely... I like the little house, by the way, with the snow. So cute. But yes, it's a beautiful poem. I really enjoyed it. I like... We've got this call back, the breathless silence and the echo of the snowflakes, the ticking of the flurries on the dusting coast below. So yes, that's it. You wouldn't think it does make a sound, but it does. And then we have, which I thought was beautiful, remember dancing diamonds swallowed in the babbling as they kissed the flowing brook that ran below the cat bridge. That's lovely. Mm-hmm. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. You just brought the coldness and the beauty, which is where I think winter is most of the time. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are it's the first time I've heard Sandy read, and I was really impressed by his reading. His poem, each stanza is just like somebody taking a paintbrush and painting the vistas and the nature scenes that you have here. I love that stanza that Katie reread, but I also, you know, your painting with the brushstroke of your pen, ballets of natural beauty, flakes and crystal flights, the best of nature's gifts to warm a winter's night. You know, each stanza could stand by itself. It's just absolutely stunning and beautiful. And thank you for calling in to read.
Very much.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
You know, I've always been impressed by poetry that is inspired by a prompt or a picture. And I thought this poem was so beautifully inspired. I like the wholesome nature of this poem here. You describe in each line, you give us a vivid imagery that we can really gravitate to. And I really like the last line there, the last stanza there, about some natural mm-hmm. beauty. That really just was so magnificent, the way you brought it in to make it just seem like it was peaceful. This whole notion here that the poem itself, you know, winter is something that we feel, it's frigid, it's cold. But at the same time, you know, I can see myself being in that house there and just feeling throughout, just feel the essence of this poem. You know, it really is something you can relate to. And you did an excellent job of doing that, of conveying that with your poem.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Fabulous comment, Frank. Thank you so much. Okay, Sandy, I'm going to put you back on mute and continue listening. Okay, so next we have Heavenly Angel and Easy Writer. So this is a collaboration. Louie, would you like to co-read with me?
Okay.
Okay, so I'll get the first stanza. Snowflakes gently caress the air with purity, calmly coloring the landscape a shimmering white as we lie beneath a downy quilt, snuggling. My head gently resting upon your chest, streams of silver moonlight cause the snow to glisten like thousands of diamonds. The last view we enjoyed as we kissed goodnight and embraced in love.
Darling, those wintry romantic moments together are forever memories that I'll save, locked in a vault, deep within my heart and soul,
I am, and I always will be in awe of your splendor and the magic of your loveliness. You are my blizzard of sparkling snowflake kisses. The beauty of your love, like a million tiny suns, just takes my breath away. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. Thank you so much. Okay, so we have Miriam, what did you think of the write?
Very enjoyable. I love hearing about snow and blue moonlight and all these beautiful images. And I was particularly struck by a very unusual passage. You are my blizzard of sparkling snowflake kisses. That's something I've never heard before and might never hear again. I'm very glad I heard it tonight.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you so much. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
What an absolutely beautiful collaboration between these two, Heavenly Angel and Easy Writer. I just loved every single part of it. You know, the first part, streams of silvery blue moonlight caused the snow to glisten like thousands of diamonds. That's so beautifully put, you know, and a downy quilt snuggling my head gently, resting upon your chest. Just so romantic. And, you know, in the second, of course, you know, the last part, you are my blizzard of sparkling snowflake kisses. The beauty of your love, like a million tiny suns, just takes my breath away. It's just so loving and romantic and tender.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, you know, this purity to the whole piece too, just like a winter wonderland, and, you know, this freshness, this purity that comes from this poem, the mood of this poem. So such a beautiful write and beautifully, beautifully read by you too. Bravo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, I have to echo that. That was a great, great read by both of you. That poem, you know, was, as Naomi said, very deeply romantic. And I think that, it's not easy to do a collab, you know, in this type of, romance. But bringing the essence there of the snowflakes is what makes us even more beautiful. I thought overall the piece just had a wonderful illustration and beautiful element of what love is, romance, and what it inspires.
Absolutely. Great comment, Frank. Thank you. Okay, Frank, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Yeah, just bear with me. Let me get to that poem. All right, this is a poem by Mr. G5. It's called A Frosty Tale from Kilimanjaro. In the heart of Kenya, where warm sunbeams play, a child grew up untouched by winter's storm. In the land of savannas and Marseille's grace, no frosty crystals graced the landscape. 11 years young, with curiosity ablaze, a journey unfolded, setting hearts ablaze. Father, a mountaineer with dreams so high, to Kilimanjaro the family would fly. Through the dusty trails and the vibrant bazaar, to the towering peak where snow meets the star. On Kilimanjaro slopes, a magical sight awaited the child in pure daylight delight. Soft whispers and legends, tales untold, the family ascended, memories unfold. The air grew crisper, the sky painted blue, snowflakes descended, a breathtaking view. Eyes widened in wonder, the child stood still, an enchanting dance, a movement, a moment to fulfill. Big snowflakes falling like dreams from above, a celestial gift, an offering of love. The child extended a hand, felt the cold, as a soft snowflakes like stories were told. Upon outstretched tongue, a delicate taste, jets of water from heaven, no time to waste. Fingers reached out, a touch so divine, a frosty caress, a gentle sensation, innocence captured in each fleeting flake, a new found world, a dream to partake. Snowball fights, laughter echoed loud, as hands felt the chill, a thrill so proud, frozen fingers, a momentary pain, yet warmth in the heart, like sunshine after rain. In Kenya's embrace, where warmth prevails, the child discovered a world of icy trails, a chapter of life in snowflakes so grand, Kilimanjaro's magic on this land. End of poem. Hello? Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Are you all right?
I'm sorry. I was mutating.
I had lost connection there.
It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? We're out in the cold again.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
You know, I found very beautiful throughout. You know, you take from Savannah to this mountain, which is snow-covered, where you can melt the snow on your tongue and receive that delicate taste, top water from heaven, no time to waste. Yeah, it was just a beautiful write, and you did a great job of reading it, Frank. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I do apologize if I slipped up a few words there. It's getting that late of the hour.
No problem. Naomi, what are your thoughts?
She said that her she had to leave. Thank you, Naomi.
Okay. Bye, Naomi.
Miriam, what did you think?
It's a very, very beautiful story, and all the more stirring because it takes place in Kenya and Mount Kilimanjaro. If it hadn't been for that placement, it would have read very much like an experience I had when my relatives from Florida came to visit us in Virginia, and the children had never seen snow. And, oh, they were just so thrilled and had so much fun with it and enjoying the beauty of it. But here, let me find my favorite part again. Oh, where'd it go? I'm sorry. There's the part about Kilimanjaro snows and the star. I can't find it.
Yeah, it's the third stanza down.
Through the dusty trails and the vibrant bazaar, to the towering peak where snow meets the star. Oh, that's so beautiful. It really sounds so very magical. Beautifully read, too.
Really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful comment, Miriam. Thank you. And Dreams, what did you think?
Oh, was that me? I'm so sorry. Did you say my name? I'm not used to
it. Yes.
Mm.
He doesn't have his list. He lost it again.
I'm not used to hearing my full name. That's what it was. Weaver of Dreams. Who's that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I thought this is lovely.
That a Weaver of Nightmares there?
No, that's my alter ego. My alter ego is called Knitter of Nightmares.
And
Weaver of Dreams. And Weaver of Dreams, she's Knitter of Nightmares, so don't want to speak to her. Full of holes. Okay, this was beautiful. And I love the fact that it seems to be instinctive that you either put out your hand or your tongue to catch the snow. It seems to be, you know, even if you've never seen snow before, which is the case here, that's the first instinct, is to try and grasp it in your hand. And the moment you do that, it's thought it was lovely. I thought it was very well written. And yes, I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you. All right. I think that's it for comments. Lou, I have Rhyme Frost Challenge by Alder Snow. mind reading that, please?
Okay. Be my pleasure. Ryan Frost Chalice by Otter Spell. Snow sparkling like a million little suns. My face fills with hope. Snow as stars of falling memories of so many winter thoughts. Some fall fast, others fall slow. Layers blanket earth's time. Rim frost chaliced, vanishing permafrost. Snowflakes wished on by the old child within, who still breathes, who still writes, washed in the gravity of every tiny sun, shaped by love's inner planets, etched waves of headlands, of florid sunsets long quenched, memories shaped by each formed sun, by love received, by love given, each drop of frozen emotion melts, a brush of color, kissing life into this ashen canvas face. I wish the child could have seen the love. As the snow and tears mix, I remember names, snowbanks as high as mountains. I would make snow angels, both seen and unseen. I would make poems so moving they would read like your own. I remember walking in the snow-clothed evening forest, speaking poetry to the night, finding the perfect groove, cross-country skiing, sticky red wax in sun-wet snow. The brightest memory of a car ride long into the night to see my baby sister for the very first time, driving for hours in falling snow, an endless herd of snowflake dinosaurs charging into the headlights, jumping over the car. By the subdued dashboard light, I remember the 8-track playing. She came in through the bathroom window in poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And sorry here. Okay. She came in through the bathroom window. It was by the Beatles. I had to Google that, so... But no, you did a beautiful read on that, and it was a very well-written poem. You know, it captures the imagination and takes you along with this journey, you know, through the snow falling, and you know, on an endless herd of snowflake dinosaurs charging into the headlights and jumping over the car. I mean, I remember that as a child being fascinated as the snow kind of flowed over top of the car as we drove through it. So. It was a beautiful write and well read. Thank you, Lydia. All right.
Thank you.
So, Frank, what did you think?
Well, I haven't had that experience here. You're great. The only thing I've had was a vulture that came back. I always went to the one day. That was a pretty sight there. But,
oh, my.
You can sort of poem itself. This was just wonderful, a wonderful illustration here of what memories are, experiences are, and the way it's portrayed. It really was entirely vivid from the beginning there. And I think what I took from the poem was just the whole notion of being in the mind of that person, being in that place or those places there, and just venturing with the writer here, the poet here, or the poetess. And I thought that was what essentially gravitated me to this poem. So I thought, oh, that was a fantastic poem, and we just have different experiences there, Gray.
And so Naomi's on. Miriam, what did you think?
I was struck by the amazing powers of observation, and I wonder how many people have stood looking at the snow long enough to realize that some of the flakes are falling faster than others. So that this is just one after another here where Bell the Poet has really been paying attention and can convey the experiences, whatever they may be. There's a wide variety. The other part, I was getting back to the snow, is about the headlights jumping over the car. And when you're in a car driving at night in a snowstorm, the snow and the snow itself and the headlights, everything looks like it's coming right at you into the windshield, and it's just going right up over the car. That's really neat. And then the humor at the end is great fun. And the 8-track playing, so you know exactly what period it's referring to. They didn't last long.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Miriam, for that comment. Okay, well, we have 4 minutes left. Should we try to get another poem in, or?
You know,
what do you
think? Well, we can try and make comments and see how it goes.
Okay, so I'm going to post Chinaski. He has a SoundCloud.
Okay.
There we go. Now, Chinaski, here we go.
Frozen crystals, billowing time bombs, erupting into warm, distant voices, echoing picture frames, hiding my broken wings, attaching a snowflake necklace of pearls. They have all escaped. Candy-coated madmen, seeking horizon, chasing years, whispering into pines each name, a lost playful instant. Father's voice fades as fishermen on distant shores, mother's prayer as soldiers left home, brother's stretched fingertips, reaching for a Hail Mary, all sleeping against my skin, melted snow, faded pages, left by my side in my book.
Wow, beautiful read, Chinaski. And that's such a touching poem, you know. You really feel the personal connection to this right through his words. Father's voice fades as fishermen on distant shores. Mother's prayer as a soldier's at home. Just a beautiful right, well read as well. And Miriam, what did you think?
Just a little time. I bet somebody else got a better impression of this poem. Let's have someone else comment.
So, Weaver, what did you think?
How did I know you were going to do that? Because I'm psychic. I'm your psychic. No, I just thought that. First of all, the read was magnificent. That voice. I mean, come along now, folks. Wonderful. I'll be short because we've only got a couple of minutes. Frozen crystals, billowing time bombs, erupting into warm, distant voices. Lovely. Absolutely lovely. And then we have broken wings and a necklace of pearls of escape. Yes, it was wonderful memories and obviously quite scary memories at some point in this because of the Hail Marys and the soldiers going off and leaving their mothers behind. So it's wonderful memories and sad memories and beautifully written. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing.
Great comment. And so that said, Merry Christmas, everybody, and to all a good night.
Good night, my darling.
Good night, everybody. Love
everyone.
You guys.
Feliz Navidad.
Happy holidays.
Feliz Navidad.
The Freddie Fender song.
Oh, yes.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero.
Feliz Navidad.
There you go.
I don't even know what it means, and I love
it.
Good night, my darling.
Good night. Love you guys. Kisses to everybody.
Good night.